Welcome to Hockey Mountain High, your go-to Avalanche podcast. Eric Dean of Mile High Sports here on a Sunday night. And we're going to talk about what we just watched. I don't have the words to quite describe that full performance. Obviously, as you can probably tell just from the lack of background noise, I am not in Winnipeg. I will not be traveling for the first round, but I still have things to say. The Avalanche put 6 goals on the likely Vezina Trophy winner, the guy that, spoiler alert, made my Hart Trophy ballot when I submitted my NHLPA vote for the NHL Awards this year. And he wasn't 5th, let's just put it that way. So one of Matthews, McDavid, Kucherov, or McKinnon were below him on my Hart Trophy ballot. That's how good Hellebuck has been this year. And the Avalanche put 6 goals on him. The Winnipeg Jets, who are known for their stingy defense, who only allowed 197 goals in the regular season this year, the least in the NHL by a mile, the Avs had 46 shots on them and scored 6 times. They dominated. They dominated up and down the ice. They played a great game. Obviously, there were parts where the Winnipeg Jets kind of had control. It wasn't a full-on domination kind of performance. This wasn't 5-0 against the Chicago Blackhawks kind of dominant. But special teams, Winnipeg scored on one of their opportunities. They failed to score on the other one. Penalty kill, Winnipeg scored on one, failed to score on the other one. Power play, the Avalanche had 2 opportunities for a combined 131 and scored twice, both off of those Cale Makar shots from the point. Just, it was great to see him doing his thing. I think I'm burying the lead here. The Avs lost 7-6, and Alexander Georgiev faced 23 shots in a full game and let in 7 goals. It can't happen. It just can't happen. You know, I've been talking to other media members. I don't think I said it on this podcast, but I've been talking to other media members for the last handful of days. And one of the things that I said is I'm not sweating the fact that Alexander Georgiev is going to start game one. That's the guy the Avalanche have to ride or die for on a short leash. And the thought process that I had going into this game was, it's not on Georgiev to win this team a Stanley Cup. It's on this team to clean up their act from what's been happening the last 2-3 weeks of hockey. What we saw tonight was the Avalanche cleaning up their act, but we did not see Georgiev putting in his, you know, part of the work, doing his part of the group project and doing the same thing. And the reason why I didn't sweat it was because historically in the NHL, it is not out of the ordinary for a young, inexperienced netminder to take over. Now, is Eustace Annan ready for the playoffs, the bright, shiny lights of the Stanley Cup playoffs, the toughest postseason in pro sports? I have no clue. I genuinely don't. The only playoff teams that he got to play this year were Nashville when he came in relief and helped the Avalanche come back from a 4-1 deficit and was perfect on 22 shots, and the Edmonton Oilers, who, sitting behind me in the press box when Eustace Annan went up against the Edmonton Oilers, was Connor McDavid, Evander Kane, Ryan Nugent-Hopkins, Matthias Ekholm, Evan Bouchard, and they were all sitting there, Leon Draisaitl, and they were all sitting there munching on the same ball arena popcorn that I was. So it wasn't quite the playoff Edmonton Oilers. It was some version or some rendition of their team. So Eustace has been pretty much, he's been given backup goalie competition all season. You know, he only came in January, and then I think it was early February after the All-Star break when he became the full-time backup goalie. But he did well in those games. He was a 928. He shut out the low Chicago Blackhawks twice in 2 games, and he did his job. So is he ready for this role? I mean, in all likelihood, probably not, but we've seen crazier things in the NHL. The fact is, what the Avalanche are getting from Alexander Georgiev right now isn't going to cut it. He had a .696 save percentage tonight. He's had some .840s and .850s and .860s over the last handful of weeks. 4 goals, 6 goals, 7 goals, getting pulled against Nashville, getting pulled against the Winnipeg Jets. Terrible game against the Dallas Stars over and over and over again. what I saw from the rest of the Avalanche roster, that deep roster that's still missing Jonathan Drouin, Nikolai Kovalenko might get a look at some point. Obviously, O'Connor and Landeskog done for the year. Well, who knows about Landeskog, but likely done for the year. We still saw an Avalanche team that can score at will. We saw the Avalanche do exactly what they've been saying they can do for the last 3 to 4 days since that game on Thursday, is the regular season's done, the playoffs are starting, we're closing the book on how we ended the season, and we're starting fresh in the postseason. This is a winning team. They know how to win. They know what the playoffs take. We saw Cale Makar, who's played, for his standard, pretty bad hockey. Again, for his standard, over the last 2-3 months, come in today and play some good-ass Cale Makar playoff hockey. And Devon Taves was a -3. That's a different story. He wasn't great. Josh Manson, man, Josh Manson is a high-event playoff guy. That's a guy that's been so excited for playoff hockey, and that's a guy that you could tell was ready for this, because last year he didn't really get a real playoff experience. He came in injured and didn't last long after missing a lot of the regular season. The dude is so high event. He was all over the ice in a good way and then all over the ice in a bad way. I think if he just reels in the bad stuff, you're going to see the Josh Manson that we saw in 2022. But he looked fun today. And I mean that with all due respect to some of the poor decision making he had. All that's to say, this team figured out a way to switch from regular season to playoff mode. They put 6 goals on Connor Hellebuyck. Again, the guy that was in the top four of my Hart Trophy ballot. He's going to win the Vezina Trophy. He's going to be the first team all-star for goaltenders. They put 7 goals. They put, 6 goals on that guy. If that's the kind of Avalanche hockey you're going to see, and I'm not saying they're going to score 6 goals every game, but we saw this in 2022 where the Avalanche scored goals at will. If that's the kind of hockey the Avalanche are going to play, and that's the type of offensive production and the type of way they're going to play games, 46 shots on the stingy Winnipeg Jets, then you don't need 920. You don't need 908, which is what Kemper was in the Stanley Cup final against the Tampa Bay Lightning a couple years ago with one functioning eye. You just need average goaltending, 895, 897, 899, 901. Like, that's all Eustace Annanen will have to do. My biggest disappointment in this entire Alexander Georgiev thing, which, by the way, if you haven't read my article on Mile High Sports, please do. A lot of the things that I'm saying right now, I wrote in that article. This part I did not, because I have been defending Alexander Georgiev over and over again this season. We saw that stretch after the trade deadline where both him and Annanen were exceptional and the Avalanche won 9 straight games and Georgiev was playing well. He's capable of it. He had a .919 save percentage. He got Vezina Trophy votes last year. He's a good goalie. My biggest disappointment, and this part I didn't write in the article, my biggest disappointment with this Georgiev thing is you could tell the reason why he's reeling is because his mental headspace isn't where it should be. His temper, his inability to keep himself under control, all the things that NHL goalies spend their entire lives doing has unraveled for this guy. And it's so upsetting. You can tell Jared Bednar is upset. I remember back in, I think it was November, when the Avalanche let in a goal where Sam Malinsky, the young 25-year-old, well, not young, but 25-year-old rookie, was screening him accidentally, obviously, and they let in a goal, and Georgiev's initial instinct was to whack Malinsky on the shin pad with his stick. He had to apologize later. UC Parkala had to deal with it later. Jared Bednar had to address it in a post-gamer and tell us UC Parkala was going to address it with the goalie, and obviously Georgiev had to say he couldn't do that again. We've seen him break sticks. We've seen him shatter sticks. We've seen him do all the things where you could tell his teammates deep inside, if you gave them truth serum right now and asked them, they probably were looking in those moments like, get your shit together, dude. You gotta be kidding me. The Adam Lowry goal today, the first one, I should say, where he came in and just easily slid it under the goalie and then turned around and pointed. Well, that's when you knew it was over. It was 3-3 after the first period, and I was willing to give it a shot. But that fourth goal on the 10th shot where Lowry just so easily slid it past Georgiev, when Devon Taves played the pass so exceptionally well, which is, by the way, why I hate plus minus. Devon Taves was a -3 on a play where he did his part, but the goalie didn't. That's the part that upsets me most about this guy, is you know he could be better. You know he has the skill. We've seen it with this team. He's won 78 games over the last 2 years. He's played well over 120, 130 games for this team, I believe, right around there between the regular season and the postseason. And you know if he could just get his temper under control, his mental headspace in the right place, he could do this. But you ever had that friend that sulks and sulks and sulks where eventually you look at them and say, I can't help you. You need to help you. It's almost as if that's where the coaching staff is with this guy. And I'm speculating here. I am an Avalanche reporter. I have access to things that many people don't. I speak to these guys in the dressing room. I love talking to Alexander Georgiev because he's one of the only guys truly, truly in this league that listens word for word to your question and pauses and thinks before he answers. Doesn't say a word before thinking to make sure that he's genuinely answering your question in a thoughtful way. So I have access to all these things, but in the end, I am not an Avalanche insider to the point where I know what they're saying amongst themselves. I'm not going to pretend I am. So I do need to make it clear that I am speculating here. But it's almost as if to me, the way that I see it, the coaching staff is looking at this guy and saying, we can no longer help you if you're not willing to help yourself. On Saturday at Family Sports, at the practice that the Avalanche had before boarding their flight to Winnipeg, Georgiev smashed a stick on the post and shattered it because he let in a goal at practice. That's not a guy in the right state of mind. And that's the biggest disappointment in all this. You know Georgiev could be better. Can he be the 919 regular season guy that he was in 2022, 2023? Who knows? And who cares? He doesn't need to be. This team is built a hell of a lot better than they were in 2022, 2023. If he was a 905, a 910, just league average, bottom of the mill, starting goalie numbers, this team runs away with game one. And the story right now wouldn't be about the Avalanche needing to make a change at goal. It would be about how the Avalanche came in and reminded the Winnipeg Jets who they are and reminded the Winnipeg Jets that in their eyes, they are defending their 2022 Stanley Cup because in 2023, they didn't get a damn good chance to do it. That's the way the story should be written if Georgiev gave you 800 goaltending even tonight, 850, 875, 900 goaltending tonight on 23 shots, two goals against. And we're laughing at what the Avalanche just did to Winnipeg in game one on the road after winning only 19 games in the regular season away from home ice and the Winnipeg Jets dominating them in three regular season games. We would be laughing. This team would be laughing into game two. But that's not the case. So all that is to say, which I have now said that about 7 times on this podcast. Forgive me. It's late Sunday night here. But you got to give this crease to Eustace Annunen. I also, there's this deep thought I have that if Eustace was healthy today, so for those that missed it, Annunen is not injured. He practiced on Saturday in Centennial at Family Sports in Colorado and then apparently woke up this morning and was sick. He has an illness. He's unavailable for the Avalanche. So Arvid Holm, the guy that they called up just to be another practice goalie, he's now the guy backing up for Alexander Georgiev in game one. There's absolutely nothing and no way the Avalanche would ever turn to him outside of an injury where Georgiev can't continue to play. Arvid Holm is not an NHL goalie. Eustace Annunen is. Jared was asked about Eustace Annunen being healthy enough to play game two, overcoming the sickness, and obviously said, I don't know. I don't know if he's going to be available. He has to be available. That's all. If he's unavailable, I can't think of anything else. Like, he's got to be there for me to even answer questions about him. And the reality is, like, this isn't an injury where they're just speculating or giving you, a no response. The guy's sick. Is he going to feel better tomorrow? I don't fucking know. He probably will, hopefully. Hopefully this isn't a Miles Wood sickness where he's out for 10 or 12 days. But if Eustace is good enough to go Tuesday, hopefully he's good enough to go, in fact, Monday, because the Avalanche practice at 1:30 p.m. local in Winnipeg on Monday. They're going to need him then. You need to see him skate. You need to get him with the group. And then you have those conversations with UC Parkola. You have the conversations with your coaching staff, with Chris McFarland. You figure out who's going to go. Obviously, Jared Bednar getting the final decision here. But it's got to be. If Anunin is a full participant in practice on Monday and he looks fresh and strong and he looks like the confident guy that he's been over the last 3-4 months on and off the ice, that dude's a beast, you go with him. Because it can't get worse than what we've seen. And it's not like today's a one-off. Is it a one-off that Georgiev had a .696 save percentage? Sure. If it was possible for me to bet money that Georgiev would have a better save percentage than .696 in his next game, pretty sure it'll hit. Notice how I said pretty sure and not automatically. But yes, obviously it's going to hit. But this isn't a one-off. This has been the last handful of weeks of Georgiev playing poor. And it kind of culminated to this performance at the worst time. So if Anunin is ready to go for practice Monday and he's a full participant and he's feeling good and healthy and he's got those antibodies rolling through him and he's feeling good and he's on the IV juice right now trying to get healthy and ready, play him Tuesday. The team respects and loves to play well in front of him. The team trusts him. I struggle, again, my biggest disappointment in this is that Georgiev isn't helping himself, and I struggle to feel... It's hard for me to struggle with the thought that the team might not trust him. There might be those eye rolls on the bench. Are you fucking kidding me? That goal to Adam Lowry. Are you fucking kidding me? You can't bail us out just once. You know, obviously he bailed him out a few times. Kyle Connor, the PK, whatever. But you can't bail us out more than 16 saves on 23 shots. Like, are you joking? The team trusts Anunin. Let him have the second game. It cannot get worse than that. So that's ultimately my thoughts on that. Like I said earlier, Cale Makar, I loved what he did. I loved to see what Nathan MacKinnon did. Casey Mittelstadt, he's still kind of getting his groove with the Avalanche. Scored a big goal there late in regulation when the Avalanche just would not quit. I loved, by the way. And I know my thoughts are all over the place, but I absolutely fucking loved the last 5 minutes of regulation. When Winnipeg scored to make it 7-4, there was 11 minutes left in regulation, and Winnipeg had one shot the rest of the way. It's almost as if the Avs players were saying, all we could trust from our goalie is one fucking shot. And they only allowed one shot the rest of the way. But the last 5 minutes, they started to pull their goalie, and every time they pulled their goalie, and every time there was that faceoff in the Winnipeg zone, they won it. Whether it was MacKinnon, whether it was Rantanen, no matter who it was, they won the faceoff. They cycled the puck. They continued to push. They made it 7-5 before the goalie pulled. They made it 7-6 with the goalie pulled off a Casey Mittelstadt goal. I loved their no quit attitude. It was almost as if, and I tweeted this earlier, it's a message to the coaching staff: we're fucking doing our part. Give us the other guy. This guy's not cutting it. And again, it hurts me, it disappoints me to say that, because I know Georgiev's better than that. But you can't wait for him. If you wait for him, in the words of Daryl Sutter, it's going to be a waste of 7 days, a waste of 8 days, and you're out of the playoffs. You don't got time to give him time right now. If he needs a summer to figure his shit out, whether he's playing in Denver or elsewhere, he's obviously under contract for another year, that's for another day. Right now, in this moment, make or break playoffs, you're down one game, you got to win 4 of the next 6, you got to go with the other guy. So I love the ending to that game. I love Casey Mittelstadt getting a goal. I love seeing the way he was finding the seams and finding his teammates, really doing well in setting up Nichushkin and Lehkonen. I thought that line was great in general. I liked what Zach Parise did in his glimpses in the top six and with MacKinnon and Rantanen, and he played over 16 minutes, 6 hits. I loved seeing the bottom lines crash and bang. Ross Cole and Miles Wood, love seeing what they were doing. This team is good. They've got what it takes. Is whether Georgiev or Anunin, are the Avalanche going to let in 7 goals against next game? I don't think so, even if it's Georgiev. But are they going to score 6? Also, I don't think so. But can they win the next one and come to Denver and win game 3 and then have a 2-1 advantage, have a 2-1 series lead with a possibility of winning game 4 to really take a stranglehold? Yes, it's absolutely possible. What we saw from the Avalanche today was a team that turned the page on their shitty end to the regular season. They just need better goaltending. So with that, I'm going to put an end to this show. Game 2 post-game podcast will not be on this platform. I'm going to be joining JJ Jerez of Gorilla Sports over at the Gorilla Sports Studio, so please catch us there. I'll be tweeting it out as well. And I'll try to do these as much as I can. Game 3 might be a little tough late Friday night, but I'm going to try to do it. Game 4, early Sunday afternoon, absolutely you will get a post-game podcast from me, hopefully not a season-ending podcast. And I don't think they're going to get swept. I'm just saying that's the first possible ending of the season. But yeah, I'm going to do this as much as I can, but we're going to put a drop in the episode here. It's past 10 o'clock here in Denver. That was fun. Let's do it again, and let's see better goaltending. Thanks for listening. If you made it this far in the podcast, bless your pretty little heart. Let's make hockey for everyone, and we out you.